You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Folks, I'm so happy to be with you tonight. I can say that every week, and I can say it sincerely every week, but tonight it just really feels good to be back home. I was in Nashville this time last weekend on a little Father's Day jaunt with my dad and my wife went, our daughter, my mother, my brother. We had gone up there last Saturday to visit my wife's brother, who also lives there, and then my father and I went to a concert together on Sunday night, see the Four Seasons, of course. And, you know, I never try to let anything interrupt me being with you during our appointed time on the nationally syndicated radio airwaves every Saturday night. And, of course, every show was good, and I thought last week's show was good, but the audio quality, at least on my end, not so much. I guess that's what I get for doing the show from inside my car on a cell phone. It's just not quite as crisp and clear as it is being inside a radio station, a real live radio studio where I sit tonight in Memphis, Tennessee at our flagship affiliate. But, you know, well, what else could I have done, folks? You know, I could have gone inside the house where we were staying with my wife's brother, but I figured my four-year-old daughter, their toddler child, and three adults visiting wouldn't have made for the best radio atmosphere either. But nevertheless, I'm back here tonight and excited to be at full strength as Keith Alexander has just walked into the studio. Before we welcome Keith to the show, keeping it all in the family, I got just a couple of letters. You know, it's really nice to get emails. I love everybody that sends in the emails because you truly are the wind in our sails. But I got a couple of handwritten letters in the mail this week from Arkansas and Texas, respectively. And I just want to share those with you as we get things started tonight. First one reads, "Hey, James, been listening to the show for a long time now. I have to say y'all are getting better with each program. The first time I listened to the Political Cesspool, I knew right away that it's going to be big. I've been active in our cause since early adulthood and have seen a lot of people work hard at a great expense, but never got much of an impact done. I believe the neoconservatives on television and radio, on the other hand, visit your website and your program all the time. Where else can they find out what true conservatives really think? You and your show are having an impact. Enclosed is a donation to help out the show's expense. I'll see you this fall at the conference." And speaking of that conference, folks, by the way, that comes from Brian in Arkansas. He has signed up to join us for the Political Cesspool's 10-year anniversary party this October here in Memphis. We want you to be there as well. And everyone who is a donor of this program should have received a formal invitation and a reminder by now. But all you got to do is send me an email, james@thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll let you know how to sign up. The last two people, by the way, who signed up, I got a few signups this week for that, a few registrations. They came from Washington State and New York, respectively. So people all over the country going to be joining us here for the 10-year anniversary. This note comes in from Texas. "Dear James, I appreciate you standing fast on the issues that are so important. I'm long overdue in sending you a contribution. Hopefully this will make some amends. You mentioned having two children. I hope you plan on more. We wouldn't be in the shape that we're in now if our people would have been fruitful and multiplied. We have seven children. And, you know, we've talked about heroes before, ladies and gentlemen. You want to know who the true heroes are? And I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on the show when I had a little alone time with you one-on-one. It is the husbands and fathers and sons and brothers, the real men and women of this country who are doing their duty to live right, and certainly those who are replacing themselves and then some. To me, a man who has seven children is a hero. Sam Bushman with eight children is a hero. His friend and co-host on Liberty Roundtable, Kirk Crosby, a hero. He has even more than eight kids. So this comes from Mark in Texas. And Mark, thank you so much for the kind words, and we love you. This is the kind of audience that we have, folks. Salt of the earth, and I mean that with the greatest deal of respect and reverence. That is something we should all aspire to be. Hardworking, God-fearing men and women. That is the audience of the Political Cesspool. That is who I am, and that is who my good friend and compatriot Keith Alexander is. And Keith, welcome to the radio station tonight. Good to be with you again after missing you last week, at least in the flesh.
Well, I was there on the radio program. I never miss. If I'm needed, I answer the call. I ride to the sound of the guns like General Forrest. And I think we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. What do you want to jump on first, James?
Well, last week I had a litter of notes in my lap as I did the show from our car. It's again very nice to be back in the studio and have all this equipment at our disposal. The internet being certainly a great resource when you're doing live radio. One of the things I mentioned in passing, I think, right as the music was starting before a commercial break there in the second hour, was the defeat of Eric Cantor, of course, the Speaker of the House for the Republicans. Greatly entrenched incumbent at the hands of the very much lesser known and less financed Dave Brat, a Tea Party candidate. Dave Brat ran on an anti-amnesty campaign, or, you know, let's not say what we're against. I mean, that's certainly a rule in politics. Let's say what we're for. He ran on a pro-American platform, and he pointed out the fact that Eric Cantor was certainly in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens. And he won, and it was a historic win. No Speaker of the House has ever been defeated in a primary, and so it's big news. And we didn't get a chance to really explore or develop our thoughts on this one way or the other because I snuck it in, as I said, right before a commercial break towards the end of my time last week before Eddie took over in the third hour. We got a couple of articles about this, one from Ann Coulter, who must have been on her medicine this week, because you never know with Ann Coulter. She's either going to be calling Andrew Jackson one of the greatest presidents, perhaps the greatest president the United States has ever seen, and perhaps only second to Jefferson Davis. You know, she refers to him as a racist, but then she writes a really good article on immigration. So, you know, it just, you never know. Maybe schizophrenia or bipolar. Another one by Michael McGregor. And they are conflicting articles. Ann Coulter saying what a great victory it is. Michael McGregor being a little more skeptical. Let's ask Keith Alexander his thoughts. Keith, is it fool's gold or is it something that we can put a little stock in? Sam Bushman says he's skeptical.
Well, I think that the people at the grassroots of the Tea Party are sincere and genuine, trying to educate themselves about the constitutional origins of the United States, trying to capture that essence and project it into the present day and in the future. Of course, I, like Sam and others, I think, are suspicious of the hidden hand that may be behind the Tea Party. I'm certainly no fan of Sarah Palin or some of the other more prominent so-called Tea Party spokesmen, but I think it's a good development for people who, at least by the mainstream media's standards, are considered far right to be winning elections against entrenched and well-financed incumbents like Eric Cantor. And, of course, Chris McDaniel did it in Mississippi against Thad Cochran. And we've got a fellow named Joe Carr in Tennessee that is a Tea Party candidate running against Lamar Alexander. Lamar Alexander, Thad Cochran, Eric Cantor represent the co-option of conservatism by neocons, who are basically liberals on everything except foreign policy, and they pretend to be hawks on that, but they're not really hawks. They're hawks just for wars in the Middle East for the benefit of the state of Israel. And quite frankly, American first people would not be hawks anyway. Read Washington's Fair.
Today is an important day. It's your day to be ready, take care of your family, and buy your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. Because today, the Freeze Dry Guy introduces our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month food supply. Today, get the Freeze Dry Guy's 30-day premium unit, normally $364, sale priced at $263, save $101. Buy two cases, normally $727, sale priced at $506, save $222. Or choose three 30-day premium units, normally $1,091, now only $748, save $343. From the Freeze Dry Guy. These premium units are packed with the highest quality Mountain House entrees, meats, vegetables, and Packaway brand freeze dried pineapple and dehydrates, such as milk, ABC stew, and rolled oats, 289 half cup servings. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48. Hurry, our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month supply sale ends soon. So call now, 866-404-3663.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, as you can probably tell by now, the opening topic for tonight's show is immigration. I want to say something, you know, particularly illegal immigration, and let me be very clear because I've gotten a few emails about this. We're actually going to be talking about immigration, the alien invasion, whatever you want to call it, in the third hour as well. So we're going to be sandwiching talk about immigration in the first and third hour with some a variety of topics interspersed there in the second hour. When we get into the third hour, though, we're going to talk about it on a much more personal level, how it has impacted one of our brothers in arms here on the staff of this radio program. If you've been to our website since yesterday, you already know what I'm talking about. And if you have not been to our website since Friday, I encourage you to go there. Well, not necessarily right now. Maybe wait till a commercial break so you don't miss anything. But thepoliticalcesspool.org is where you need to go. I went over to Eddie Miller's house yesterday here in Memphis, not far from where I live. And we did a YouTube video. It's a short, sweet, 3.5-minute YouTube video of how immigration, third world immigration, has affected Eddie personally. And you will see a mountain of old tires in the lawn, garbage, rotting garbage, food, debris, broken glass, beer bottles, all over this overgrown lot. These people live just a few houses down from Eddie, or at least they did. They have since been run off. But the city of Memphis, this is what's incredible. As horrible as this property looks, it looks twice as good as it did a few days ago before the city of Memphis sent, at taxpayer expense, a couple of cleanup crews to tidy up the place. But anyway, you can still get an idea of how horrible it is. All this stuff that you see piled up on the curb, what's strewn out over the lawn. Anyway, this is how third world immigration is impacting our people. Just one of the ways. Now, the trash and the depressing property values is just a couple of the ways that this is impacting law-abiding, tax-paying Americans. But you get to see it. You know, you can talk about it. You can imagine it. Why don't you see how it impacts the neighborhood of one of our staff members? And you can watch that video at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But I want to be clear here. Whether it, you know, and we refer to it quite rightly as illegal immigration because it is illegal. and people have sent me emails about this to get back to my point, and then I'll toss it back to Keith. And they are right. Whether it is illegal or legal, it still has the same damaging effect. I would certainly not be for rampant third world immigration, even if all of their paperwork were in order. It would still have the same effect. But that it is, in fact, illegal only compounds the problem. We're either a nation of laws or we're not. And it seems as though, Keith, as we've pointed out before, the regime, those in Washington, pick and choose which laws to enforce based upon the tenets of the new state religion, which is political correctness. They don't choose to enforce. And Pat Buchanan wrote a great column about this a couple of days ago, and we'll talk about that in the third hour when Eddie gets here. This nation picks and chooses, this country, this government, picks and chooses which laws to enforce. They don't care about the border laws, but try busting a red light or not paying your taxes and see what happens.
See, that's what is so puzzling to the average American citizen. There's no need for any new laws on immigration. The laws that are necessary to stem the tide of illegal immigration are on the books. That's why this immigration is called illegal immigration. Now, the goal of the left is to have enough of these illegal immigrants become citizens, and they're all, you know, almost genetically patterned to become liberals once they do become citizens. They will change laws so that this type of activity that is now illegal will be legal, perfectly legitimate. But the fact that it's illegal now is of no significance because our government, whether run by a Republican leadership or Democrat leadership, seems totally feckless, totally incapable of enforcing the laws, or, as we all suspect, these people are really, the people in charge, our governing elite, are really secretly globalists who think that national borders are obsolete and therefore they don't want them enforced. They don't want any barriers to the free flow of people or goods into and out of any particular region in the world. This was the original dream of the Fabian Society, which included people like Beatrice and Sidney Webb, George Bernard Shaw, Oscar Wilde, a lot of these intelligentsia of the late 19th century. They were moving and they intentionally wanted one world government. Now, groups like the John Birch Society in the 50s were considered to be off-the-wall loons, because they warned us against the one-worlders who thought there was no reason why Americans should live any better than Ecuadorians. I remember that particular placard. It's just blazed into my memory for some reason. I remember seeing it when I was about in the sixth grade, and I said, that's incredible. What an incredible claim. But as time has marched forward since 1962 or 63, when I was first encountered that placard, I've got to admit that the John Birch Society, which was portrayed as a bunch of pencil-neck geeks with Buddy Holly glasses, big Adam's apples, you know, skinny guys with black trousers and string ties and whatnot, these geeks were really onto something. Because this, I think that the final end game of liberalism, when you ask yourself, what are they trying to achieve through all of these liberal, radical, egalitarian initiatives that they have inflicted upon our nation over the past 70 or so years, what's the point? What's the end goal that they're seeking? I think the end goal that they're seeking, James, is nothing less than pure globalism. And that's why open borders is such a sacred bromide of theirs.
Well, Keith, I couldn't have said it better myself, and you're exactly right. And again, to reiterate the point, the fact that what's happening here is illegal. It's a felony to come into this country without going through the proper process. But no one thinks about enforcing that because it's people from the third world. And of course, they can do no wrong according to the tenets of cultural Marxism. And so, but I will say this again, it is irrelevant whether it is illegal or legal. It would still have the same effect and it should be opposed. But I think, I'll let Keith, he wants to chime in real quick, and I'll get back to the Dave Bratt, Eric Cantor race.
Well, the most recent development is the phenomenon of small children from Central America appearing in the United States, apparently sent across the borders by some unknown or unidentified hand at this time. It's almost like a replay of the old children's crusades during the Crusades back in the Middle Ages. They're bringing these children in because they can depend upon the soft-heartedness of the American electorate, particularly since, you know, women have gotten the vote. Basically, they did this so that they would have a natural adulteration of nationalists and true conservatives and have people whose heartstrings should be plucked pulling the levers at the voting machine. And that's what we have. They've chosen these children specifically for that purpose. How can you be so heartless as to throw these little children out of the country? They also know that there's a loophole in American immigration law that says that if you let, if there are children here, their parents get to coattail on them and come into the country if the child is allowed to stay in the United States. So this is, you know, this is a Cloward Piven type strategy that's being used. They want to collapse our system with this influx of third world penniless people.
Folks, hang on to your hats. We're just getting started tonight. James Edwards and Keith Alexander back on the Political Cesspool right after these words.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
But when you're having a little good old-fashioned southern porch talk, as Keith and I are having this evening, you don't necessarily stick to even the loosest of agendas that we walk in here with. And we had intended to spend the bulk of the first hour talking about the Cantor Brat race in Virginia. And we've at least mentioned their names, I guess, this first hour, but we've, departed from that to an extent and talked more about the scope of the third world immigration in general. I do want to say this, though. By the way, I found out during the commercial break that Joe Arpaio, of course, everybody knows Sheriff Joe, he mentioned that the topics that we're discussing this hour is being done by design, and it's intentional by the Obama administration that this is allowed to occur. And, of course, there's nothing new about that. That's nothing that listeners of this show didn't already know. But it is encouraging that highly elected officials, very prominent and public people like Joe Arpaio, mentioned this. And, of course, you would expect that from people like Joe, but more and more people are beginning to speak that way. Certainly more and more people are beginning to vote that way. We've seen this rise of the right in Europe, and is that beginning to trickle down over here to the west of things in America? Have we seen a tremor here in Virginia with the Dave Brat historic upset of Eric Cantor? Is nationalism reawakening in America? And I know that the left has done a great deal of damage to the true definitions of words. You could pick a word and they control the discourse on it. Nationalism has sort of a scary stigma to it, but there's nothing wrong with it at all. In fact, it's the most isolationist, xenophobe, all of these things. But I will tell you, there is nothing wrong with nationalism. I am certainly a nationalist, and I'll tell you the difference between a nation and a country. A nation, of course, as you know, is a unique group of people that share a history, a language, a culture, religion, etc. A country is just a plot of land. I am certainly more beholden and more loyal to my people than I am ground, although it is certainly great if you are lucky enough to live in a place where blood and soil are joined together as one, and you can be proud of your country because it's made up by the people who define it. Little departure there, but Keith, I know you're ready to chime in on something, and then we'll get back to Dave Brat. We will finally tackle the Brat-Cantor election and its ramifications, pro and con, and how immigration played a defining role in Brat's upset.
Well, you and Sam really hit on something there, how terms like nationalism, protectionism, isolationism have become virtual pejorative terms according to the left, and the left controls the dialogue and the discourse publicly in the mainstream media. So consequently, people tend to snort and chuckle if somebody is identified as being a protectionist or an isolationist or a nationalist. But then on the other hand, I think it's coming to the awareness of people in the Tea Party that our founding fathers were just exactly those things. They were protectionists economically. They were isolationists regarding foreign policy. Read George Washington's farewell address when he left the presidency. And furthermore, they were very strident nationalists. Read John Jay's Federalist Second paper. So all of these things that we're supposed to look our long noses down at are actually what we ought to be embracing if we are true to the vision of the Founding Fathers, and I think that's one of the major tenets of the Tea Party movement. We need to understand, and I think what is happening both in Europe and in the United States is that people are kind of instinctively coming to the realization that we have coined here at the Political Cesspool that liberalism isn't just an alternative political ideology. We say liberalism is the modern face of evil. It has caused a terrific and horrific decline in public morality. It has weakened the nuclear family. It has, the illegitimacy rates have soared. Abortion rates have soared. Criminality has gone through the roof in the West. And I don't think it's just a coincidence that it seems to have tracked exactly the rise and the triumph of liberalism in the Western world, James.
Hey, Keith, to talk now for a moment about this campaign, we'll give you the good side of it, the good take from Ann Coulter, who, again, was on her meds when she wrote this, and I mean that in a good way. Economics professor Dave Bratt crushed House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in the Republican primary last Tuesday, a campaign that was mostly about Cantor supporting amnesty for what she estimates to be 11 million illegal aliens. That's a conservative number. As we've mentioned, it marks the first time the U.S. House Majority Leader has ever lost a primary election. His crushing defeat reinforces a central point. Whenever the voters know an election is about immigration, they always vote against more immigration, especially amnesty, which is quite right. Now, here's the thing that I like about this race without at all hitching my cart to Dave Bratt. He was outspent by more than $5 million. All right, when you are out, he spent $150,000, less than $150,000, Dave Brandt's campaign. Eric Cantor spent more than $5 million on his campaign. That is astounding. You're talking about a House Majority Leader with a $5 million campaign war chest going up against a political novice who had never run or held an elected office before and being beaten despite the fact that he had virtually zero budget. About the Tea Party, yes, Dave Bratt claims to be a Tea Partier, but the Tea Party didn't claim him. This is what was interesting to me. They had nothing to do about Bratt's victory, Ann Coulter writes. National Tea Party groups did not contribute one dime to Bratt. Not Freedom Works, not the Club for Growth, not the Tea Party Express, not the Tea Party Patriots. She claims that these Tea Party groups are mostly shysters and con men just in it for raising money. But after Dave Bratt's victory, they were all faxing media availability notices to television networks claiming credit for Bratt's electoral triumph. And above and beyond that, Keith, Dave Bratt has talked about the role, the positive role, the indispensable role that Christianity has played and the cultivation of America. So all of this I like about him, knowing nothing more than what little I've read about him I like, but there is a rule. There is a rule, and that is, don't ever fall in love with a politician. They will always break your heart. And I know that my very good friend, and listen, if you want to be, if you truly stand for populism and grassroots traditional conservatism, constitutionalism, you could have no better friend, and I mean this in all sincerity, than Sam Bushman. And I know Sam Bushman has reached out to the Dave Bratt campaign and has not gotten a response. So, yeah, the silence is deafening. Take it all with a grain of salt, folks. I like a little bit of what I've read. I wouldn't say that this is in any way Dave Bratt is a savior or that we should trust him. But I will say this. What I do take encouragement from in this race is that the people believed that he was. And I think I did mention this last year, week in what little time I had to speak on this subject. The people liked that and they voted for him. Now, whether or not he will betray them, we'll find out. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if he did. But the fact that he won because the people liked what they believe his message to be shows that the people are still with us, Keith. And that does come as no surprise.
Not at all. And we need to understand that people who are true grassroots conservatives that want to empower the conservative instincts of the vast majority of America's current citizens are always going to be marginalized. They are not going to be reserved. They will not have a reserved seat at the table of the power brokers. Never have, never will. But we're crashing the party, folks. We're crashing the party in Europe. We're crashing the party here in the United States. Glory, hallelujah. Now, Dave Bratt is probably not as far along in his political thought processes as the average member of our audience. And hopefully he can be educated and understand that basically there is no separate peace that you can reach with liberalism. Liberalism is the enemy that has to be defeated. It is not, you know, it's like a fire. It's a dangerous ally and a fearful master. And we need to understand that liberalism is the modern face of evil. And you need to be able to identify liberalism and to fight it. You cannot take half measures against liberalism at any point. And hopefully people like Dave Bratt either know that or will come to know that, because if they're not, they will simply wind up being co-opted into the liberal establishment like so many other promising conservatives have in the past.
We're going to take a break and be back with more after this, folks. That I promise you. Stay tuned.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rainfly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here. Keith Alexander on the road now. He came in. He has a busy schedule tonight. Keith is a man about town. I mean, you just don't know what a big name in town Keith Alexander has become. But he is moving on to another engagement. I knew we'd have him for a limited window tonight, but always thankful for his contributions. And that being said, we were borrowing, Keith and I were, from a few talking points from Ann Coulter's column about the defeat of Eric Cantor. And she writes something here, surprisingly, refreshingly honest for her or anyone with such a platform. She writes, and I agree with her, She likes Israel's immigration policy. Hell, I do too. I wish we could enforce it here. Instant, unapologetic, unsentimental deportation of illegal aliens. Of course, the Jewish folks in our government really supported Israel's policy too, for Israel only. They won't let us try it here. She writes about that. An article worth reading there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And she also takes to task the establishment media, and I wouldn't say she's not a part of that, because as I said, she at any given time can infuriate me or say something that I like. But, you know, that's the thing. And our audience has proven itself to be more mature and having an understanding about that than any group of people I've ever met or worked with, in that, you know, we're here for 3 hours a week, every week, without fail, live, talking for 3 hours. You can say a lot of stuff in that amount of time every week. And so inevitably, as much as you love this show and as much as we love you, we're going to say some things from time to time that you don't necessarily agree with. But what I love about my audience here in the Political Cesspool is that you will agree to disagree on some things, but still not withhold your support. And so often, especially in conservative, well, I've never been a part of liberal politics, so I can't say exactly how it works there, but I know in conservative politics, right of center politics, people have a tendency to break camp and withdraw any level of support if there is just one thing on a menu of 1,000 with which they find disagreement. And you don't do that, and I try not to do that, even with people like Ann Coulter. If she writes an article that's good, I'm going to talk about it on the show and give her credit for that. And she was jabbing the New York Times for writing a column which had the headline, "Why Did Cantor Lose? Not Easy to Explain." Well, of course, it was very easy to explain. He was pro-amnesty, and the people in this country aren't. And they voted for a guy that they believe will represent their interests. Will Dave Brat do that? I don't know. Odds are, probably not. But I am encouraged that the people are still firmly with us in right thinking on this. And not just this, but many, many issues, from the, you know, sodomite marriage deal and just all the way down the line. If you look, almost without exception, folks, on the internet, whether it be an AOL article or a Yahoo article or just wherever you would find an article that deals with a so-called controversial political topic, and you read the comment section. Now, this thing will be as skewed and as biased to the left as it can possibly be, the way it's written. But if you read the comments where the real people respond, almost inevitably, we win the comment war. More often than not, those who comment think just like us on these issues. This is the real American people. They have no voice in the mainstream, save this network, our show, and a very few others. I'm talking about on the AM, FM, syndicated airwaves, real Americans, middle Americans, right-thinking Americans just do not have a voice. Now, do I wish that we had the range of a Rush Limbaugh? We were on every major market in the country? Well, sure I do. But we're doing great work with what we have to work with. And folks, you make that possible. And we love you for it, and God bless you for it. Now, Ann Coulter was writing that she thought that Brat's victory was a great thing. I think some aspects of it are. Michael McGregor, though, who writes for Radix Journal, not so sure. Here's what he says. "And what might constitute the greatest political upset in modern history, poorly funded challenger Dave Brat soundly defeated Republican Majority Leader Eric Cantor in an election that was entirely centered on amnesty. It's hard not to be swept up by the enthusiasm conjured by Brat's unprecedented victory over Cantor as the majority leader is a perfect symbol of our odious political class, and his humiliating defeat is a satisfying thing to watch. But we should take a step back and see this development from a broader perspective. Clearly, Cantor's loss signals white America's disenchantment with demographic replacement and contempt for politicians enthralled to the interests of big business. Brat ran against him not just as a paint-by-numbers Tea Partier who only wanted to secure the borders, but as someone who genuinely wants to reform America's immigration system to reduce migration levels. He is one of few GOP candidates that aligns with the viewpoints of groups like Numbers USA and the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which are all hate groups, of course, by the deemed that by the SPLC. And his victory has predictably raised the hopes of those who desire the Republican Party to embrace conservatism and save America from the grasp of liberals. There's little doubt that Bratt's win has killed the chances of amnesty's passage in 2014 and will likely mean that Republican-controlled House of Representatives will not even consider any bill that would grant permanent residence to illegal aliens until after the 2016 election. So these are all good things. But this is where the plot thickens, at least according to Michael McGregor, who is a writer that we feature semi-regularly at thepoliticalcesspool.org. McGregor continues, "I hate to bear the bad news, but this result has only temporarily delayed amnesty and will do nothing significant in and of itself to stop the demographic swamping of white America. It only gives off the illusion that concerned Americans can reverse our demographic catastrophe and make America what it once was. But it will not happen, as only a handful of Republicans are willing to pass any type of legislation that would restrict immigration. De facto amnesty will not be challenged, as the Obama administration seems to have not stopped caring about deporting illegals, and the donors and figures that control the GOP are still dead set on passing amnesty. And we've just seen in recent days Rupert Murdoch, head of Fox Corp, News Corp, the parent company of Fox News, came out with this endorsement of amnesty. And he's the head of the so-called conservative alternative in television, network television. Defeating amnesty is a fight, McGregor writes, that ultimately serves as a distraction from understanding the broader problems that are plaguing our people and causing our decline. Even if immigration restriction was a realistic idea that had a chance of passage, we would still not resolve the inner crises of our people, and we would to the country they happen to reside in. In other words, defeating amnesty will not win back the fantasy America cherished by so many conservatives. Defeating amnesty, as shown in Bratt's win over Cantor, only serves to indulge the deceitful notion that we can still solve our problems through the established system and lure well-meaning whites into a false state of complacency. There is also the fact that amnesty will be passed someday. It's just a question of when. But there is an intriguing possibility to this outcome. It might force President Obama into passing amnesty through executive order. That would lead to the further balkanization of America and undermine the trust that many white Americans still place in the federal government. That could lead more whites into accepting our point of view and working towards more effective solutions to the problems that beset our people instead of fighting trumped-up measures that matter little in the larger scale of events. There is, though, one positive factor to take away from last week's vote. It does reveal the discontent of some whites towards demographic change and desire to halt it. A positive omen that through whites, that enough whites, are willing to challenge the fate of the United States from transforming into a multicultural hellhole. So I think even though in that dissenting article, Michael McGregor still concedes that there is some encouraging aspects to the victory by Dave Bratt in Virginia, which has been the focal talking point for our first hour. We've got much more forthcoming here tonight in the Political Cesspool. Folks, we're coming up on our top of the hour break as we head into the second hour. You're going to have about 7 or 8 minutes before I'm back with you at the top of the second. Take that time to prepare yourself for what's coming in the third hour when Eddie the Bombardier Miller flies into the studio. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and watch this 3.5-minute video that we shot just yesterday, Friday morning, on Eddie's street. And you can see with your own eyes. You won't be hearing it with your ears. You won't be reading about it. You'll see with your own eyes what third world immigration looks like and what it can do to a neighborhood. And keep in mind, folks, when you see how horrible this video is, remember that this was after two cleanup crews dispatched by the city of Memphis had finished their work, and it still looks this bad. Imagine what it looked like last week when Eddie tried to get me over there. I was out of town. I didn't make it before Memphis had done a little bit of damage to the destruction brought by this multicultural blessing. Check it out. We'll be back with more right after this. I'm James Edwards. I'm so happy to be with you tonight, folks, and I'll be back with you again in just a few minutes.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.